You're listening to Maneuvering Mondays, a podcast about transforming work culture. In this first part of the episode, we follow the fictional story of Marie, who's an HR manager in the edtech company Zebra Apps, as she maneuvers the challenges of transforming their work culture.
Marie did not feel like she could postpone it any longer. She picked up her phone and looked at her missed calls from Anne. She stood up to close her door. As she was about to close it, the receptionist walked by, trailed by 5 new employees. Marie knew that the tour of the office would conclude in the conference room downstairs. Rats, she thought. She was the one who would give an introduction to Zebra's approach to learning and development. She put her phone in her pocket and hurried down the fire escape stairs. Almost running down the stairs, she set into a steady pace as soon as she opened the door to the conference area. She narrowly beat the group to the conference room and shook each person's hand as they came in. The next half hour, she explained that Zebra readily invests in employee development, that they prefer hands-on learning over formal training, and that they create a development plan that is revisited quarterly with the line manager. Shane, the recent addition from Convo Systems, raised his hand. Yes, Shane, Marie extended her hand in his direction. So, what is the budget for each person's development plan? He asked. We do not have a set budget per person, Marie said. Great! So, I should just ask for the most expensive conference to go to then, he laughed. We try to think of our employees like an organism that develops together, Marie said. One year, we may need to direct most attention to building a certain skill and put other initiatives on hold. So how do you lobby that your area is the most important one? Shane continued. Marie started to get annoyed. Let me give you an example, she said. 3 years ago, we were building out our data center. We offered everyone who was interested to pursue the new roles that this created in our company. This meant that we had a number of people completely retrained to work with hardware. Marie smiled. The best example is Willie. He was employed in facilities, but decided to take us up on the offer and retrained to become a data center technician. Marie said, he is now the person who knows most about the physical layout of the data center. Luckily, Shane did not have any more questions, and Marie managed to finish her presentation without additional interruptions. Back in her office, Marie took out her phone from her pocket. There was a text from Todd that read, thank you for the convo yesterday. Great to share. Good luck with Shane, smiley face. Marie felt uneasy. After meeting Shane, she felt that they might indeed need luck with him. She looked at the clock on her phone. It was approaching 1 in the afternoon. Damn it, Marie said out loud and hurried downstairs to the canteen. At the buffet, Marie managed to assemble something that resembled a meal with broccoli, feta cheese, and bread. As she was passing the kitchen door, it opened and the chef looked out. I knew it, he said. Marie looked up from her plate. Hey, she said. You are late again, he said. Haven't set that alarm yet, she shrugged. I have something for you, he said, and darted back to the kitchen. Marie started to get annoyed. She was running late as it was. A couple seconds later, the chef opened the door and presented a fully arranged plate to Marie. Whoa, Marie said. It had 3 slices of roast, boiled potatoes, gravy, and broccoli on the side. Saved some for you, said the chef. Marie looked at him and felt her eyes tearing up. Thank you, she said, and had to restrain herself from hugging him. Bon appetit, he said, as he gave her the plate and took her improvised broccoli salad. Thank you, she repeated and headed over to the nearest table to eat. Marie was on her last slice of roast when Jenny sat across from her. That looks good, Jenny commented. The chef saved a plate for me, Marie responded. It pays to be nice, Jenny said and took a bite of her broccoli. Marie looked at her, confused. Yes, we have a really nice chef, Marie said. Jenny laughed. You think he is nice? Jenny mocked. Marie couldn't even force a smile. Jenny was the CTO of the company. She was another relatively recent hire. Before Jenny, there was no one person in charge of the technology. That had made sense when Zebra only hired technologists and a couple of internal staff people. But once they started to hire heavily on the commercial side, it had made sense to put a single person in charge of the development side. Jenny had been Anne's boss. "Do you know what Anne is up to these days?" Marie asked. "I haven't spoke to her since she left," Jenny said. Marie shrugged. "But I heard that she is a consultant now," Jenny added. "Oh," Marie said, genuinely surprised. "It makes a lot of sense, really," Jenny said. Marie looked at her, waiting for her to continue. "She never cared about the technology anyway," Jenny went on. Marie did not know what kind of face to present. Did not care about technology? The person that had created their most sold product? "But she was the one who had created some of our most successful products. She invented Aslo," Marie said, then forcefully closed her mouth to keep herself from saying more. "She was in meetings all day long," Jenny went on. "Meetings, meetings, meetings." "What kind of meetings?" Marie asked. "She spoke to everyone. All the developers, all the engineers, everyone." Marie digested the information. "What did she speak to them about?" she asked. "That is the big question," Jenny said. She did not believe in reporting up. Jenny made air quotes with her fingers while still holding her fork in one hand. Marie had a hard time reconciling this bit of information with what she knew about Anne. How everyone loved working with her. How everything she touched turned to gold. "What kind of consulting does she do now?" Marie asked. "How to talk to people," Jenny said with a grin. Marie decided to stop asking questions and finished off her last piece of roast. After some silence, Marie said, "Congratulations on your new employee, by the way." "Thank you," Jenny responded. "It took some bargaining to get him to switch from Convo." Marie looked up at Jenny, not sure if she should share her observations about Shane so far. "Let's hope he is a good bargain," Marie said. Jenny laughed. Marie decided not to press the matter any further. When Marie returned to her office, she sat down in her armchair and took her phone out. She Googled Anne Kelly. There was an AnneKelly.com now. Jenny was right. Anne was a consultant. Marie read the offerings page. Consulting on high-performing teams, team dynamics, self-management, motivation. Marie felt uneasy. Why would Anne, their star product manager, turn into an HR consultant? Marie sat up straight and dialed Anne's number. It rang 3 times. "Hi, Marie," Anne said. "Hi, Anne," Marie said. "Is this a bad time?" "I am about to give a keynote," Anne said. "But I would like to speak to you." "I can call you later," Marie suggested. "I would prefer to meet in real life," Anne said. "How about we meet in the coffee shop across the street from Zebra at 4:30? "Just a sec, let me check my calendar," Marie said, put Anne on speaker and opened her calendar app. "That should work, but I do have a hard stop at 5:30, Marie said. "We'll make it work. See you then," Anne said, and hung up. Make it work? Marie thought. What did Anne have on her agenda that may not fit into a whole hour? Marie had a hard time focusing the rest of the afternoon. She decided to pack up her things and leave for the coffee shop early. At the coffee shop, she ordered a cinnamon bun, a large iced tea, and a cappuccino. She sat down at a table in the corner of the shop, giving her a view of the entire intersection in front of the coffee shop. She laid out her notebook and opened to the page where she had written Anne in a box. She also laid out her pen and her phone. Traffic was picking up as employees from the tech companies on the street were heading home early for the weekend. A white Tesla passed her, and she could swear it was Todd from Convo Systems in the driver's seat. Convo Systems was just a couple buildings down the street. Marie thought to herself that it was odd that a VP would head home so early. Mark usually sat in his office until dinner time. Then she smiled to herself. But what was he really doing, though? She took a bite out of her bun and noticed a figure in a fuchsia-colored power suit approaching the coffee shop. Looking closer, she realized it was Anne. Huh, Marie thought to herself. Anne had usually worn the classic developer uniform while at Zebra Apps, a t-shirt with witty print and jeans or slacks. She followed Anne with her gaze as she came inside. Marie checked her watch. It was only 15:55. They were both more than half an hour early. Anne went straight for the counter to order, not noticing Marie in the corner. Anne ordered a green tea and a beetroot juice. She exchanged a laugh with the barista. Marie could not hear what the banter was about, though. She got up in her seat a little bit, trying to catch what the conversation was about. While Anne was waiting for her drinks, she turned around and took a little step back as she noticed Marie. Anne nodded in Marie's direction and headed towards her table. "Hi," Anne said. "We are both early," Marie smiled. "Yes," Anne said. "I must admit, I snuck out early from the conference. I thought I would take a couple of minutes to get my thoughts together before we met." "That was exactly my plan," Marie smiled. That is when she noticed Anne's white t-shirt with print. It said, "Missing in Action," and there was a picture of a dodo. "We can sit at separate tables and ignore each other for a half hour," Anne suggested with a straight face. Marie was not sure if Anne was making a joke or was serious, but didn't want to risk being rude. "No, no," Marie said. "This is just an informal conversation." "Suit yourself," Anne said, and went to the counter to pick up her drinks. First, Anne returned with the teapot and cup. She placed them at the center of the table. Then she went to pick up her beetroot juice in a tall plastic cup with a lid. Marie watched Anne pick up her drinks in bafflement. She had actually meant that they should take time apart in the same coffee shop. Finally, Anne sat down across from Marie, blocking her view of the street. Suddenly, Marie felt uneasy, as if looking out on the street provided some sort of comfort. Then she looked at the dodo on Anne's t-shirt and smiled. It reminded her of Anne's t-shirt selection while they worked together. It felt familiar. Anne poured herself a cup of tea from the little white china pot. Realizing it was not yet ready, she poured the liquid from the cup back into the teapot. Instead, she took a sip of her beetroot juice, wiping her lips with a napkin to contain the bright red color. "So," Marie started as she sipped her cappuccino. "So you have not been returning my calls," Anne said. Marie looked at her. "You did not pick up either," Marie said, surprising herself with her defensive attitude. "That was just one time," Anne said. "You did not call me back after multiple attempts of mine to reach you." Marie was set aback by Anne's confrontation. She looked at her face for what seemed like a long minute. There were little wrinkles next to her eyes, even though her mouth was in a completely neutral position. Marie decided to lean in. "I did not want to speak to you," she said. "I don't blame you," Anne said, and finally smiled with her lips too. They sat in silence for a couple of minutes. Marie held her coffee cup, but did not feel like drinking it. Anne poured tea from her pot once again. This time, it was sufficiently brewed. Anne smiled with one side of her lips as she lifted her cup and smelled the tea. "Oolong," Anne said. "I never cared for that kind of tea," Marie said. "It tastes a bit like camel," Anne said. They both laughed. "But good camel," Anne said, and took a sip. Marie felt her shoulders lowering. She hadn't realized how tense she was. She sipped her cappuccino and considered taking another bite out of her bun. Her stomach felt heavy, so she decided against it. Instead, she looked at Anne. "You left quite a gap when you left," Marie said. Anne nodded, but said nothing. She wiped some of the drops of water from her plastic cup of juice with her fingers. "You are missed," Marie tried to engage Anne again. This time, Anne looked straight at Marie. "I was holding engineering together," Anne said, perhaps more forcefully than she intended. Marie nodded understandingly. "The system is insufficient if one person holds it all together," Anne said. Marie rolled her eyes. Then she realized that she had rolled her eyes and hurried to explain herself. "You always talk about systems," Marie said, "but people make up systems. People ultimately fail if the system is not suitable for people," Anne said, like your department. What about my department? Marie said, surprised. You hold HR together, Anne said. Marie thought for a minute. I guess I do, Marie said, having a hard time keeping back a smile. Face it, Anne said. Mark is not pulling his weight. Paul is disengaged, Esser is angry, and it's a miracle people get paid on time. What? Marie couldn't believe what she was hearing. She felt herself grab onto the side of the table as if it would provide her support. Anne sat back in her chair. Do you disagree? Anne asked. Marie didn't know what to say. She let go of the table and put her hands in her lap. Is Mark pulling his weight? Anne asked, eyes wide as she leaned forwards. Well, Marie did not really want to answer that. In her head, she went through her recent conversations with Mark just the past few days. How he had taken offense when she told him that Natalie had asked her to solve the retention problem. How he had taken a note when she mentioned that other companies were offering soda to their employees as if it was a possible solution to the retention problem. How he had asked Esther to print all the exit interview reports instead of sending her the link to the folder they were stored in. Or at least, that's what Marie thought had happened. She also felt that uneasy feeling resurfacing that she always felt when she was with Mark. He was always playing some sort of game. She tilted her head to the side, looking into the middle distance, and tried to find a redeeming quality of Mark's dimension. He did suggest that our culture is the problem, Marie said. Anne sat back in her chair and smiled while she lifted her eyebrows. And how did he reach that clever synthesis of the problem? Anne asked, joining the fingertips of her hands into a diamond shape. He looked at the notes on my whiteboard, Marie said, and suddenly felt played once again. So, you collected the data, wrote it up on your board, and Mark swooped in and stole the conclusion seconds before you had that exact same aha moment? Anne said. What a hero indeed. Marie bit her bottom lip and clenched her fists in front of her. She felt anger as a big, bright red pool of lava inside her stomach. She could not allow herself to dive into this pool, not while he was still her boss. Paul isn't disengaged, Marie said, trying to change the course of the conversation. Paul is a good man, Anne said, and you didn't give him a chance to get his feet under his desk when he was onboarded to lead HR operations. Me? Marie said, leaning towards the table and holding her arm over her chest. The minute he entered the door, you got in his business, Anne said. What are you talking about? Marie gasped as she sat back in her chair. She was starting to feel dizzy. I am talking about how you tried to maneuver Hannah to fill Esser's job, Anne said. Now, you hold on a minute, Marie said. Paul was throwing the very capable Hannah away for the whims of a person he had just recently hired. Hannah had been with the company from the very beginning. She knew exactly how things worked and still had a willingness to learn. Esser had just joined and was busy telling everyone what kind of work she didn't and wouldn't do, while Hannah would do anything that was necessary to make sure people were paid on time and treated fairly. I'm proud that I tried to keep her. That is exactly what I mean, Anne said. You keep HR together. You step in. You see people and what they need. But by stepping in, you crowded Paul's initiative out. He would have seen the problem eventually. Eventually, Hannah walked out before any eventually. Marie made air quotes with her hands. You were just like Mark, Anne said, swooping in before Paul had a chance to arrive at his own conclusion. Marie wanted to respond. She wanted to fight for her decision of trying to get Esser and Hannah to share the work, of growing Hannah into more challenging tasks rather than essentially demoting her to an HR admin. But instead, she sat back and took a big bite out of her cinnamon bun. Anne followed suit and took a big gulp of her beetroot juice. This time, some of the juice ran down the straw and spilled on her fuchsia-colored pants. For God's sake, Anne exclaimed. She picked up her juice and walked to the trash can. She forcefully threw it in and went to the bathroom. While Marie waited, she ate her bun in big gulps. She managed to finish it off and wipe her hands with her napkin while waiting for Anne to return. Anne emerged from the bathroom with a big wet stain on her pants. "I think I got the color off," Anne said. Marie nodded. "Have you spoken with her since?" Anne asked. "Who?" Marie asked. "Hannah," Anne said. Marie thought for a minute. "No, I haven't," Marie said, looking down at the table. "I meet with her once a month," Anne said. "She is one of the people I coach." Marie looked up at Anne and felt her eyes getting a bit moist. "How is she?" Marie asked. "She's doing great," Anne said. "She works for a startup, back to being the sole HR person in the company." "She can do it all," Marie said as she lifted her eyebrows. "Her main problem was realizing that she could do it all," Anne said. "Maybe not perfectly, but knowing a little bit about the full spectrum of HR tasks makes her a great addition to any startup." "Had we grown too big for her?" Marie asked as she suddenly felt all the sadness of Hannah's departure resurfacing in her chest. "I think she could have stayed. Like you said, she could easily have specialized in any branch of HR. Marie nodded, relieved to hear that Hannah's career had found its course. She had felt that somehow it was her fault that Hannah left, that she had failed her, that if she had played her cards differently, Hannah could have stayed. "It wasn't Paul who pushed her out," Anne said. Marie looked at Anne. "It was Mark," Anne said. "What do you mean?" Marie asked. "Who do you think was advising Paul on what to do about Hannah?" Anne said, looking straight at Marie. "Who was it that planted the idea in Paul's head that Hannah was just an admin?" Marie could feel that red-hot pool of anger inside her stomach again. "Look," Marie said, "I can't really go with you down this path of Mark bashing. I need to be able to work with him." Anne looked at Marie and smiled. "You see so much, yet you resist to see the whole picture," she said. Marie clenched her fists and moved both hands in her lap under the table. "And do you see the whole picture, Miss HR Consultant?" Marie said. Anne chuckled. "HR Consultant? Is that what I am?" Anne said. Marie forced a smile on her face and nodded. "You advise organizations on building teams," Marie said. "That is essentially what my team does at Zebra. It's HR." "Your team," Anne repeated. Marie rolled her eyes again, this time not even trying to hide or apologize. "Why do you say it like that? Your team?" Marie made air quotes again. "You are very protective of your team," Anne said, raising her voice. "As any leader would be," Marie said gently, thinking of her three employees and how they had met over cinnamon buns just this morning. "Perhaps," Anne said in her normal voice, "but you have created your own subculture in the organization. You have your own rules, your own culture. For God's sake, you have your own breakfast." "What's wrong with having a team breakfast?" Marie said. She loved their Friday breakfasts. "You stay out of the actual business," Anne said. "It's as if you are HR consultants who incidentally are on a full-time contract with Zebra." "We are facilitators and coaches," Marie said. "We are supposed to stay out of the business." "That is an excuse," Anne said. "You should be taking part. You should be engaging and challenging. You are internal. You can actually change the system, a system that your colleagues are drowning in." "Now, wait a minute," Marie tried to interject. "People are drowning, Marie," Anne said. "People are drowning and you are staying on the sidelines trying to teach them how to swim. You need to drain the pool." Marie could feel the anger rising. She was pretty sure that Anne could see it in her eyes. "Are you accusing me of not engaging? What about Andrea?" Marie said a bit louder than intended. Anne looked puzzled. "Who is Andrea?" Anne asked quietly. Marie smiled calmly. Now was her chance to put Anne in her place. That big red pool of anger finally had an outlet. "Andrea, the business analyst who was working with Simon on creating the business case for selling our excess hosting capacity, Marie said. That damn thing, Anne said. But wasn't the business analyst Andy? He worked with Simon on that case. She prefers she, her pronouns, and her name is Andrea, Marie said, smiling intensely and waiting for Anne to react. Anne sat back in her chair and scratched the side of her head for a minute. Marie picked up her iced tea and took a long sip. Okay, I did not know that, Anne said. Oh, you who know everyone and spend all your time talking to people in meetings, Marie said with a sarcastic tone. You let poor Andrea squirm as a fish trying to get that information out of Simon while she was undergoing one of the biggest transitions in her life. Marie, I had no idea, Anne said, looking genuinely shocked. You are telling me I don't engage, Marie went on. I was the one who protected her from that whole nonsense. I was the one who found her crying in the bathroom after Simon had sent her on yet another figure-finding goose chase just so that you could get back on management for not supporting your Ukraine idea for Aslo. Marie, I'm really sorry. I really didn't know, Anne said. That is your problem, right there, Marie said. You think you are better than us. You are trying to tell me that I am doing the wrong thing. It is actually you who is disengaged. You left the company for crying out loud. That is disengaging to the max. You left the company just because things didn't go your way, just because you didn't get to use a huge portion of company assets for purposes that would not create any revenue. You left Jason to fend for himself. That is not fair, Anne said, looking down at the table. I left because of Jason. I left because no matter how much I supported him and everyone in the rest of engineering, no one was supporting me. I have always had your back, Marie said, now feeling a bit ashamed of her rant. You are not the CEO, Anne said. No, neither are you, Marie said. They sat in silence for a while. Anne kept touching her teacup, but never picked it up to actually take a sip. Marie tried to look past Anne and into the street. The intersection was packed with cars now. Why were you in meetings all the time? Marie asked. What? Anne asked, letting out a snicker. That is what your former manager, Jenny, said, Marie recalled, that you were not interested in the technology and were unavailable to her. Anne grunted and rolled her eyes. Disinterested in technology? Anne exaggerated a baffled face. Marie laughed and slapped her thighs. It still made no sense to her that Jenny had said that. Anne was as nerdy as they came. I know, Marie said. Technology is easy, Anne said. Creating an organizational system where people create great technology is hard, especially for the long term, and especially for complex systems such as Aslo that stretch the limits of what is possible and what people know how to do. That is why I was in meetings all day, listening to the team and brokering how we show up for each other. What do you mean? Marie asked. People perform at their peak if we go with their grain, Anne explained. They need to be working on the tasks that are just right. Not too easy, not too hard. It's like the zone of proximal development for children. People develop best when they are put in a situation where the task is just outside of their current capabilities, but within their current learning capability. But where that zone is changes all the time, so you need to listen and understand their evolution as it happens. So you were in effect managing the team, Marie concluded. Not Jenny. No, I was managing their creative energy, Anne said. I was watching out for how we create as an ensemble. Were you putting on theater? Marie snickered. Anne looked at her with a straight face. An ensemble is different from a team, Anne said. It bends and adjusts depending on the people in the ensemble. It's more like an organism. You have given up on technology altogether, Marie said, as a career. No, maybe. I just realized that it was not my key contribution, Anne said, and not the key constraint of creating great products. Why didn't you come to me when creating your ensemble? Marie said. So you could do teamwork exercises with us? Anne said with a huff. Marie frowned. Don't take it the wrong way, Anne said, but we needed continuous work on how we show up for each other. A workshop wouldn't cut it. Marie looked at her watch. It was 17:20. She looked at Anne. It's already been an hour and a half, Marie said. Anne looked at her. Conversations take time, Anne replied. Humans process things slower than machines. We process things emotionally and intellectually. The emotional part especially takes a toll. Marie was not really listening. She was thinking of the question she really wanted to know the answer to. Could we have offered ASLO to the displaced students and teachers of Ukraine? Marie asked. Anne seemed surprised by the question, but she leaned into the table and folded her hands in front of her. We could have done that without any real cost to the company, Anne said. So why didn't we? Marie asked. It's funny that you are asking me that, Anne said. You should be asking Natalie. I have asked Natalie, Marie said. And? Anne said. Marie looked at Anne. She couldn't quite figure out whether to trust her or not, but somehow the feeling of speaking to Anne was more like being with her team than talking to Mark. Something doesn't add up, Marie finally said. Anne nodded, but didn't say anything in reply. Anne finally picked up her cup and drank her entire cup of tea in one gulp. Marie took a couple more sips from her iced tea. It wasn't because I didn't get my way with Oslo that I left, Anne finally said. Marie looked at her. It was because of what it said about Zebra that we didn't do what was within our power to help people in need, Anne continued. Jason, Simon, and I would have spent our free time setting it up. We could have used the servers that we had already installed anticipating expansion, but that we had not yet allocated to paying subscribers, Anne said. I'm pretty sure we could even have gotten funding from charities and government agencies to fund the subscription cost. Marie could see that Anne was tearing up. We even created a bloody business case for Natalie with pledges of support from donors and a plan for making it happen, Anne said. But she and the new guy, VP of sales, wouldn't hear it. We've become much more commercially focused, Marie said. Anne was about to say more, but Marie looked at her watch again and saw that it was 17:40. She almost jumped up in her seat and started packing her bag. She closed her notebook, realizing that she had been intending to take notes, but had taken none. She packed her pen and phone into her bag. She looked up at Anne. I'm sorry, but my kid's kindergarten is having a flower party and I am on the planning committee, Marie said. Anne smiled and didn't say anything. Marie looked at her, trying to read her facial expression. Finally, she gave up, turned around, and headed for the door. Walking down the street, she looked in through the window. Anne was still sitting with her back to the intersection. She had taken out a notebook and was writing with a mechanical pencil. She finally got that half hour to get her thoughts together.
You're listening to Maneuvering Mondays, a podcast about transforming work culture. Tune in when we invite guests to comment on this part of Marie's journey. Thanks to Tiffany Lam, our wonderful speaker of the audiobook about Marie from Zebra Apps. What are your thoughts on Marie's situation? Have you had a similar experience? And what would you have done? Join the conversation on our LinkedIn page and let's maneuver Mondays together.